The Lord just keeps dealing my heart on this, and I'd rather, with difficulties that we're seeing in these days, I'd rather preach something tonight to seek to encourage, but all day today and even the last day or two, I've had on my heart the new birth. And I know that probably most everybody here tonight's saved, but the greatest need in this meeting tonight, greater than you getting help for your trials, greater than you getting encouragement for your discouragement, is to see some sinner delivered from hell. And so we're going to try to mind God tonight. I'm going to read quite a bit of Scripture. I want you to just be patient with the reading and try to mind the Lord this evening. John 3, verse 1. The Bible said, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Can I ask you to do something for me while I'm reading? Read in your mind with me, will you? It is easy when you read a text of Scripture. Listen at me. I've learned in my own mind across the country. I don't hear much preaching. I preach about all the time. But I learn when I hear somebody reading a passage of Scripture that's familiar to my mind, I won't really look at it. I want you to look at it. I want you to listen what God's saying. Verse 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not, or for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And thank God for these words, that whosoever, oh, how wonderful those words are. And whosoever, oh, how they're sweet to my heart. Whosoever, I'm glad that night that I became one of those whosoever, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, thank God, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, I love you and I thank you for loving me. Lord, thank you for this good congregation that's met together tonight. Lord, you know my heart before I ever speak a word. Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God tonight. I want God to be used of the Lord. God, not for my credit or my honor or my glory, but God, that someone here tonight, God that's lost without God, may see themselves. And Lord, hear the Word of God tonight in this meeting. Lord, please speak, I pray. I know, God, you have the power, God, to speak in such a way that men and women, boys and girls would know that God has spoken to them tonight. And I pray that you would. I'm convinced, God, without doubt tonight, there's someone, Lord, here that's really needing to be saved tonight. Oh, God, you know, Lord, that where that person's seated in this congregation. I pray, Lord, tonight, please, Lamb of God, I pray that you'd check all the interference and all the hindrances. And God, may, Lord, somehow tonight, I'm asking you, dear God, Lord, may somehow tonight you search the hearts and reach beyond the facades and, Lord, beyond the outward appearance of it all. And God, reach down inside tonight and may the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine down in their heart. And God, for all you do, we'll thank you and praise you right now for what we're expecting to be done for Jesus' glory. In His name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach, as I've already stated, on this little thought: you must be born again. We don't hear that much today. I don't hear it much. You don't hear much about being saved. And you hear a lot about the Joel Osteen and the Robert Shuler philosophy of be positive and be perky and be popular and be prosperous. Amen. But there's such a thing as the Bible, that the Bible says, talks about being saved. Now I know that you've heard that so many times, and it's talked about so much in our Baptist churches that I'm afraid maybe the meaning of it has lost its full appeal and the power of it down in our heart. I want to just deal with this thing a minute. Of you must be born again. There is such a thing in the Bible as being saved. Now listen, you say, well, preacher, we know that. Well, I don't know in our generation how much we really know about that. I've heard it so much, sometimes that words can lose their meaning to you. And the word's more than just a word. It's actually got a meaning. The word saved means to be brought out of a place of danger and placed into a place of safety. May I say tonight, I'm saved. I'm saved. I've been brought out of a place of danger and placed into a place of safety tonight. I'm not being saved. I'm not going to be saved. I am saved tonight. Amen. So many verses I would like to deal with, but I'm just trying to mind the Lord here. But Paul talked about over and over again, being saved. Being saved, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must we do, or I do, to be saved? Amen. There's such a thing. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must
be saved. Don't let that word become a word to you. It don't mean today what it meant 30 years ago, friend. In the average church today, it's just a term of getting religious. But friend, you better get saved. You better get born again. You better know that, friend, you passed from death unto life. The word saved itself, it means to be born. It means to simply be brought into life. A life that did not exist before, now exists to be brought into life. Let me say this, and I'll come to the heart of what I want to say and junk a lot of it tonight. But do you remember a day that you was brought into life, that you started living for God, that the life of God come inside? Being saved is not a rule nor a regulation. It's not a ritual, friend. It's having the life of God imparted to you through the new birth. Are you listening tonight? So I want to make 8 statements tonight. I can't preach on them as much as I'd like to, and I won't preach as hard as I normally do. But I want you to hear me what I'm saying. I want to make 8 statements tonight about you must be born again. I want to say, number one, you must be born again to escape the wrath of God. You must be born again to escape the wrath of God. Psalm 7:11 said, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible said that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:36 said this, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen to me tonight. I know we've done shouting and had a good time, but listen to me tonight, friend. If you don't get born again, you'll never escape the wrath of God. Now I want to remind you tonight, the wrath of God is just as much as the love of God. It's a Bible doctrine. It's a character of God. Listen to me. Wrath is anger that has been held up, and it is an action of anger against unrighteousness. Hey, friend, I'm telling you something tonight. We're going to undergo the wrath of God. I know this world don't like to hear about the wrath of God. Very little preaching about the wrath of God today. But friend, it is a very, very, very real thing. Stay with me a minute. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Romans chapter 2 said, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. I ain't got your attention up here tonight. Most of you settle back there now. Listen to me, friend. If you don't get saved, God's going to bind you hand and foot and throw you into hell without God to burn forever. You'll never escape God's wrath. You can't get out from under God's wrath by doing good, by quitting something, or just going to church. You've got to be born again. Listen, friend, you've got to be brought into life. We'll say more about that in a minute. You've got to have the life of God imparted to you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this verse a minute. And you hath He quickened, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also in time past you had your conversation, in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh and of your mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look up here now. Look up here. You know what you are tonight if you're unsaved? You're a child of wrath. Let me explain what that means. That means that your nature is the nature that God will have to throw in the hell. The nature you were by nature. That's what He said. You are by nature, Brother Jacob. We're by nature the child of wrath. Listen to me. Are you here tonight listening? Are you lost? That means by nature you're a child of wrath. A stick of stove wood is good for nothing to be thrown in the fire. Amen. Are you listening? Your nature is good for nothing tonight but to suffer and feel the wrath of God if you're unsaved. That's your nature. Amen. You've got to have a new nature. A nature that's changed. A nature that's created. That's the nature of the Lord. So number one, let me say number one, if you don't get saved, if you don't get born again, you will never escape the wrath of God. Now friend, listen to me tonight. I don't feel like I'm getting plugged in by the way I'd like to. Listen to me tonight, friend. This world's about ready to undergo the wrath of God. It's getting ready, son, for the tribulation period. I heard the other day, I don't think I would have ever believed this. I heard just the other day that they're saying that our entire globe is going to run out of water now. They're saying that there is a water shortage in the world. Friend, I'm telling you, from the economic scene to the religious scene to the moral scene, it's gearing up for the Antichrist. The wrath of God's getting ready to be poured out on this world. But may I say tonight, I'm not a child of wrath anymore. I'm a child of God, thank God. And when the wrath of God poured out, I'm going to be gone and living with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Number one, you'll never escape the wrath of God except you're born again. Now, come here a minute. Number two, I want to say except you're born again, you'll never experience the workings of God. Oh, it's going to get quiet, I'm afraid, tonight. Look in Philippians chapter 2. I can quote this, but I want you to look at it. I come in tonight and I was thinking about maybe church members that say they're saved and all that, but look here a minute, Philippians chapter 2. Look at this verse of Scripture a second. What Paul's trying to say, you'll never escape the wrath of God. And number two, you'll never experience the workings of God. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That word, the word will there, look at this. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do. There's two words that concerns the word will in the Bible. One of them is a passive word, and the other is an active word. Look here a minute now, son. Come here a minute, buddy. He's saying this. If God lives in you, He's going to work something in you. Amen. Amen. You'll never experience God's workings in your life until you have been born again. Amen. Let me slow down here now. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss this, son. That word, this word will right here is the same word in John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. It's the same word listeth and will right here. And he's saying this. The word God will design a thing in your life, but then God will decree that and see to it that that comes to pass. Amen. There, listen. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. There is no such thing as being saved and God not working in your life. Did you hear me? It is God that worketh in you both to will. He purposes something in your life, and then He executes that and sees to it that that will or that purpose comes to pass. Has God been doing anything in you? You will not experience the workings of God until you've been born again. I don't want to get sidetracked. I got too far to go tonight. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've probably said this here before, but it'd be quite all right if I have. I am sick and tired of this philosophy that says God will do something if you will let God. I understand what you mean. Now I want to tell you something. This thing of God doing His will in your life is not up to you. The responsibility in that Bible is placed on God. It is that God will do something. It's not God do something if you'll let Him. It's God will do something in your life. Look in Hebrews chapter 13 right quickly. Look here now. Hebrews chapter 13. Are y'all listening? Are you young people listening? Amen. Hebrews 13, look at verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Watch this. This is what God's going to do. This is not what God's going to do if you let God do. This is what God's going to do. He will make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, God will do that.
Amen.
Some of you listen at me. Some of you profess to be saved, to be born again. Now, I'll just be honest. There's a person here tonight that God put on my heart today. I prayed for all day today. I told my wife, Dorothy. I told my wife about that person. All day. And I thought, oh, I hope they're there tonight. I just hope somehow they're just in my heart all day. I'm asking you tonight. I don't care if you're 15, 25, 45, 75. I don't care how old you are. If you got born again and Jesus Christ come to live in you, He's going to work His will in your life. I am seeing people all across this country that swear they're saved, and God ain't doing nothing in them. God ain't doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I say, well, they're carnal. They're not letting God. They're not submissive to God. And I understand all that, and I know there's truth to all that. But the bigger truth is this. God's God, and God's going to do something. God's going to do something. You better listen to what I'm telling you tonight. I'm not no Calvinist. Don't think I'm preaching Calvinism. I'm preaching that if you get born again, you will experience the workings of God down inside you. God, I didn't say it. God said it. I ain't going to move on for a minute. God said He will work His will in you. You cannot be a disobedient child of God day in and day out. God will work something in you. Amen. I've got a long way to go. I can't get bogged down real long right there. But I remember when I first got saved. I'd never been in church. I'd known nothing about God. I'd known about the Bible. If they'd have meant find John 3:16, I'd have went to hell. I know nothing. I tell you what I did do after I got saved. There was something inside me. I had hair down to here. I had sideburns down to there. You couldn't see nothing but my nose, my lips, and my mouth. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, it wasn't just a few days after I got saved. Something inside of me went to telling me to cut my hair and dress right and straighten up. Amen, friend. You can take that what it's worth. It won't make a flip to me. Amen, friend. God will work something down inside of you. God will do that. God will do that. If God lives in you, He'll work in you. But listen at me now. Listen at me now. That was not an initial experience that stopped 6 months after I got saved. I'll be saved 30 years this coming February. And I'll tell you what, an old Brother Barry, I'm nothing, and God in heaven knows I ain't bragging on nothing about me. I know that I'm not. But I'll tell you what I do know. That entire 30 years, God has been working down inside of me and changing me and molding me and straightening me up. Amen. There's times I rebelled and I didn't go the way, but He kept working. He kept doing. He kept purposing. He kept willing. He kept desiring. He kept designing. And He kept decreeing what He had desired and designed. You'll never experience the workings of God. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Look here a minute now. Lord, I'm going to have to. Y'all's food's going to get cold now, I'm afraid. Romans 8. What is some of that working? What is some of that working that God will do in you? What is some of that we're talking about? Look at verse 11. He said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He said He'd quicken that dying, dead, mortal body.
Listen at me now. Help me, dear Lord. Help me, God. I come tonight, Brother Barry, if God knows my heart. I come tonight with a burden on my heart. Listen at me, friend. He will give you some life. He'll work life down inside of you. His Spirit will move in you. Listen to me, friend. What's the matter if people say they're saved and the Spirit never quickens them? He said He quickened this mortal body. He didn't say He'd quicken your spirit, the inner man. He said He'd quicken your body. Which means this. If you get around where the Spirit of God's at, I don't care how dead you feel, how tired you feel, how worn out you feel, how depressed you are, how discouraged you are. Amen. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, if the Spirit of the living resurrected Christ lives down inside of you, He'll do something to that outward man, and you'll have to well say, amen, son. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah for God. He'll quicken that body. I've preached to people for 30 years that are still sitting as dead today as they did the first day I ever preached to them. I don't care who preaches nor what they preach. I don't care who sings and what they sing. I don't care if it's a dead meeting, they look the same as they do when it's the most spiritual meeting you've ever been in. I tell you what's the matter with them. God's Spirit don't live in there. You ain't been born again. He'll quicken that mind. I've been down too. I've been down. I live in a sick body. God knows that. If it wasn't the Spirit of God, I'm amazed sometimes how I can be so sick just before I get up to preach. God can touch that mortal body. You know what I'm talking about. I got to hurry. I can't spend much time. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You've been to church down and defeated, depressed, and all the rest of that. But thank God somebody get on the piano and start singing. Amen. And God just takes over. And the world of difference makes from the outside, from the inside out, because God's Spirit lives inside of you. One of them is liberty, life. Romans 8:14, a lot of things we could say. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. One thing you will experience if you've been saved, one of the workings of God is His leadership. I know this ain't shouting tonight. I wish I'd come preach something y'all shouted about. Leadership. God's Spirit will lead you. He will direct you. He will talk to you and tell you. I'm not talking about Benny Hinnism and Kenneth Copelandism. I'm talking about God leading you and God guiding you. You know, if you've been saved, any amount of time, you can take you to a time where God's Spirit just told you something and just directed you in something and showed you something or helped you pray something or give you a little bit of meaning from the Bible, some verse you'd read. Amen. You say, I don't experience that liberty. I don't experience that life. I don't experience that leadership in my life. You know what your problem is? You ain't been born again. Look at Romans 5:5 in your Bible there. Look at it. Here's something else He'll work in you. Not to hurry here. Romans 5:5. Look at it. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to you. His leadership and life and liberty. He'll work love down in your heart. You can't hate everybody under God's heaven if you're saved. I know that's simple preaching, but it's God's truth. He'll just work it in there. He'll just shed abroad in your heart. I went to church a few times and I thought I could stick my fist fur down somebody's throat that had tonsillectomy. Got it back. I didn't say you couldn't get mad. Don't tell me you can't get tore up. I tell you what you can't do. You can't get mad and stay angry and hate people and not love people. God is love. And if you've been born of God and God lives in you, He works love inside you. Amen, son. Have you been born again? And then there's that longing, Galatians 4. And He sent Spirit of His Son down your heart crying, Abba, Father. Oh, listen to me tonight. There's just something. If you've been born to God, He just works down in there. Oh, listen. Oh, listen at midnight. I ain't preaching the best I ever preached, but listen to me tonight. You know, when trouble comes, your first thought ain't go to Dollywood and take a vacation.
Come
The first thing that just naturally emanates out of your soul is this old groaning that comes out, oh God help me. It's just a groaning down inside of there. It's just a love down inside of there. And it naturally cries out, Abba Father, God help me, God help me. It's natural.
If you've been born again, you'll never experience God working in your life. Listen to me tonight. I want this to be real. You'll sit on a seat while the rest of the church shouts, praises God, and you'll just sit there until you've been born again. And I'm telling you, folks, I didn't come not please nobody. I come preach what God gave me. I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you the truth when I get out of this building. I was preaching over in Vanderpool Baptist Church 2 weeks ago, and God said the next time, I'm telling you, I was preaching across the front of the stage, and God said the next time you preach at Barry Rackley's, you preach on new birth.
What about that?
And you call me the next week.
What about that?
God's trying to tell somebody tonight, friend, if you're absent of the workings of God, I don't care how young or how old, if you are absent of God, you will never experience the workings of God down inside of you till you've been born again. Number three, and hurriedly, not only will you not escape the wrath of God, number two, you'll not experience the workings of God. But number three, until you're born again, you'll never be able to express worship for God. Now, the further I preach, and there's something out there just trying to come back up here. Listen to me, friend. I've preached on this before here. I know I have, but I want to preach it again a minute. The evidence of Christianity is not going to church. Let me stop, man. The greatest evidence of being saved is worship. Philippians 3:3, Paul said, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Worship God. You will never worship God till you get born again. I'll show you something here a minute. I'm trying to preach in mind the Lord. Look up here a minute. I want you to do me a favor for a second, if you can. If you can do this, I want you to do something for me. I want you to forget about Sunday. And I want you to forget about church. And if you had no church and no Sunday, what evidence have you got that you're saved other than your little church service on Sunday? What evidence have you got? If there was no Sunday and no church service and all you had was 6 days instead of the seventh or the first, whichever way you... If there was no Sunday and no church service, what have you got to prove to anybody that you're saved other than I go to church and go through the routine? I want to tell you one thing, friend. If you've been born again, thank God for church and Sunday. I'm telling you, I love it. Hallelujah. But I don't have to have it alone. Amen. I've got a God when Monday morning comes around. I've got a God when Tuesday comes around. Amen, son. Sometimes in the shower, sometimes driving up and down the road, the Lord Jesus Christ just gets so big I can't contain Him no more. Amen. Have you been born again? Can you worship God? I kind of preach most time expositorily, and it's hard for me to preach like this, kind of scattered. But I've told you this before, but I feel God would have me say it again tonight. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that which is born of the capital S, the Holy Spirit, is the little S, the human spirit. And God is the Spirit with a capital S. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit with a little S. And until your human spirit has been birthed by God's Holy Spirit, you'll never worship God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to say it, bless God. I want the devil to know tonight. If he's around, I'd spit right in his face. He ain't got anything, bless God. Amen. I want you to know tonight, we are the victors, not the devil. Amen, friend. Amen. Are you listening to me? When your human spirit's dead, God said to Adam and they are is thereof, there shall surely die. He did not die in body, but something died that day. His spirit died Godward. Your spirit, you're born with a dead spirit. But when God's Holy Spirit births your human spirit, when God's Holy Spirit comes around, He'll call attention to Jesus Christ. Now don't get mad at me here. Worship's not standing up and bragging on a good family and a good home. I appreciate all that, and I do it too. So I'm just understanding what I'm saying. Worship not telling people. I tell you what it is. It's one element. It's one element. It's one element. What do you think of Jesus Christ? That's the reason these churches have got to get that hip hugger, them britches hip hugging, dancing and swaying, and that old rap gospel, rock gospel contemporary mess. They've got to get something to stir up their flesh.
You got that right.
Because they ain't got nothing in their spirit. I'm going to tell you something. The best worship meetings I ever had wasn't always in the church. Amen. I can take you to some of the best places I ever had, and I worship God, and there wasn't a living, breathing human being around but me and the Lord, thank God. Amen. God made big of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship is the Holy Ghost calling attention to the crucified and resurrected Savior, and your heart getting caught up with Him. Can you worship God? Can you worship God? I'm asking you a question, folks. Worship ain't got nothing to do with this outward flesh. I don't ever do this, but I'm going to do it tonight. My wife and I have been married 28 years next month. I've never heard a shout. But I know my wife's life. I've seen worship out of that woman I know I have. It's not got, and I'm not saying shouting's wrong. I'm misunderstanding me now.
Right, right.
I'm misunderstanding me.
Right.
I'm saying worship is something out of your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Where you just get caught up. You love the dear Son of God. You just love Christ. And your relationship with Him's growing. And you're getting more intimate with Him and more involved with Christ all the time. That's real worship.
Amen.
Folks, listen to me tonight. You can be a preacher's wife, a preacher's son. You can be a deacon, a church member, or whatever, a worker in the church. But the acid test is when you're sung or preached to about Jesus. There's something down inside here. Maybe nobody sees it outwardly so, but something inside of here. I don't always get stirred up in the meeting. Some people call me stuck up across the country. I'm quiet. I don't always get loud. But I know, son, there have been many a time in my heart when I just sit there and my soul just bled and dropped with the dew of God on my soul, just saying, thank God for Jesus Christ coming from heaven and dying for me on a cross. Boy, it gets inside, and we're all different and we all worship different, but this is the key. If you're saved, you will worship.
Yes, sir.
You can't be saved and not worship. Because you know Christ. And it's impossible for somebody to brag on Christ and Him having saved you by dying for your sins at Calvary, and you seeing yourself lost one day and come to Him and beg Him to save you, and He saved you and changed you. It's impossible to not remember a little bit about that, and God the Holy Ghost not called to your memory.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to tell you what a problem is, friend. A lot of folk in our country lost. You never express your worship for God except you're born again. Hurriedly, quickly. Look in 1 Corinthians 1. I told you it's scattered tonight. It's not the way I normally preach. 1 Corinthians 1. Number one, you will never escape the wrath of God. Number two, you'll never experience the workings of God. Number three, you'll never express worship for God. Number four, you'll never be able to explore the Word of God. Look at verse chapter number 2, and for the sake of time, look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. He goes on down in verse number 14 and says, but the spirit natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Look up here just a minute. I know it's going to get quieter. This word know here, in verse number 11, what man knoweth the things of God? There are three types of knowledge in the Bible. There is intuitive knowledge, there is learned or acquired knowledge, and then there is experimental knowledge. And this word know here is intuitive knowledge. Meaning this, he said, what man knoweth the things of the spirit of man, save this man, the spirit of the man that's in himself. In other words, who knows what's inside a man, how a man feels, or what a man's thinking, except that man. Nobody can naturally know what that man's thinking, but that man. It's intuitive. I don't have to tell you, you don't have to tell me how I'm feeling.
Right. You just know.
Because I'm in me.
Yeah.
I naturally know.
Yeah.
He's saying this, when God saves you, you have an inborn, intuitive knowledge about God.
That's good. That's good.
It's just inborn.
Yeah.
What am I thinking right now? What am I thinking?
I have no clue.
Have no clue. And you won't have a clue.
He's not in you.
He's not in me. But I know what I'm thinking. Because
yeah.
I'm in me. And I have an ability to know what God thinks and how God feels intuitively, because God lives in me. And you read the Bible, and it don't make one lick of sense to you. You can't know it. Because God don't live in you. Amen. 1 John 2:20 said that we have an unction from the Holy One. We need not that any man teach us of the things of God, but that unction we have from God teacheth us all things of God. You know what He's saying? Amen. I'm going to go preach too long tonight. You know what He's saying? He's not saying you don't need a preacher and you don't need a teacher. He's saying, but there's something inside you just knows the truth. You remember? You just got saved the other night, dear brother. Is that right? What his name? Joey, is that right? Joy, you just got saved the other night. I tell you what you'll do in the next few weeks. If you really got born again, I tell you what you do. You hear this man preach something that you ain't never heard in your whole life. And you know what you'll say?
Amen.
Amen. That's right, amen. That's right, amen. Amen. Something inside you knew it all along. You have never heard it before, but you already knew it.
Amen.
You already knew it. Had you not? Because His seed remaineth in you.
Amen.
God wrote a copy of the Bible down inside you.
Amen.
You've got the Word of God living in you.
Amen.
And you study that word discern. You study it sometimes. See, preacher, it tells you right. One of the meanings of that word discern down there is explore, investigate. He said, you'll never be able to investigate and explore and understand anything about that Bible till God lives inside of you.
Right.
Amen. Are you listening, friend? Are you listening? You can read it till you're blue in the face. It's black words on white pages. And that's the reason. That's the reason, bless God. Y'all listening to me? That's the reason we had to rewrite the Bible and get new versions. Hey man, their mind wasn't on me. Hey, I used to couldn't read it either. And I tell you, friend, I can't even read a newspaper now and it makes sense. It just don't make no sense. Hey man, I tell what I can do. I can read the love letter from heaven, thank God. Hey man, there's something inside me. Hey man, says that's right. Yes. You can't explore the Word of God if you ain't saved. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 said, His Word worketh effectually in you that believe. Works effectually.
Yes,
means it's going to do something.
Yeah.
It's going to do something.
Amen.
They say it does, it bores me. Puts me to sleep. Can't hardly wait till it's over most every Sunday. I tell you what it does to a real child of God. Amen. It becomes a lamp and a light unto your feet, lamp unto your path. Thank God, friend. When you find yourself dragging low, I can't explain it. Oh, I'm going to get beside myself and keep preaching. Amen. I can't explain it, friend, but it works. It works, buddy. It works. I've got low blood sugar. I have to eat quite a bit through the day. My sugar will bottom out in 2 minutes and I'll be trembling all over. And I tell you what, when I get that way, I have to eat something real quick. And I tell you now, this is how it works. I eat it and then I say, now stomach, you digest that. Now stomach, you break that up and put it in my blood. Blood, you take that into my body and you make oxygen out of it and you make stuff. You think that's what I do? No, I just eat. And my body just takes over. And it just happens. And I tell you one thing, I can't understand it. I can't understand it. I tell you, when I'm down, bless God, when I'm weak and anemic, amen, I'm telling you, when I get in trouble, hallelujah, I go to that book, I just read it, I can't explain it, but thank God, it takes over and it does something in my heart. Amen. Yeah, it just does something. Oh, Lord, it does. Hallelujah. I could stop and worship for a little while right there. Oh, at the times in the midnight hours. Praise God. Brother Craig and I got up out of the bed, loaded down with misery and trouble and woe. And I found me a chapter or two of the Word of God. I can't explain it. Are you listening to me? I know you know what I'm saying. If you're saved, you know what I'm saying. Amen. It's a word to your weary soul. It's a rock in a weary land. It helps you through your problem. If you've been born again, but if you've not been born again, that word won't do a thing for you. By the way, I'll say that later. Number five, real quickly, I'd like to spend a lot of time there, but don't have the time. You can't learn the Word and you can't live by the Word if you ain't been born again. Number five, you must be born again to expect the witness of God. His Spirit bears witness, our spirit, that we are children of God. And I said, I've been praying for a long time. God, show me I'm saved, but I just can't get it. Now, I know I'm entering the bad territory here. Somebody's going to get quiet. I've got to preach it. Biggest reason you can't get assured you're saved, God ain't going to lie to you. God ain't going to lie to you. He's Spirit of truth. He ain't going to lie. He ain't going to make you feel like you're saved, just make you feel better. I don't care how bad you feel. You'll never experience the witness, the work of God, the witness of God down your heart until you get saved. Now, don't you listen to me. Now, don't get mad at me here. Listen at me a minute. I hear this all across the country, and it ain't right. I hear people saying the first evidence of salvation is the Word of God. Now, hear me out. It ain't right. If that was right, nobody could ever know they're saved when they got up off an altar until they learned the Word of God.
That's right.
Yep. That's good, brother. It's good.
Now, I'll tell you what, I don't know much, but I'll tell you what I did know. The night I crawled up out before on board that Subaru, I knew something happened.
That's right.
I've had more than one get up. I heard a man here at church about a year ago. He got down. I've never heard a man confess sins like that Lord. God in heaven, he'd kill the Pope. He confessed sins I'd never heard of. It went on for an hour. I prayed. I wore out. I wore plumb flat slab dab out. I just sat down. He was still on the floor crying. You could hear him half a mile. Him and his wife both. His live-in shack up. And 50-something year old. And he'd cry, oh, God, save me. Oh, God, Lord, I'm lost. I'm the worst man ever lived. God, I've done this. And God, I've done that. Lord, have mercy. I want to put my hand over my ears. It got awful. He was crying. Last thing he said, he was flat on his face in the floor in my house. And he said, oh, God, please, God, don't let me go to hell. Oh, God, save me. And he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me, God. The next word, how did he know that?
It's not a verse.
It's a witness of the Spirit. Now, see, here's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to get them saved. And take a verse and lead them to assurance of salvation. God can't take the word of truth and lead you to believe a lie. But now, listen to me. Let me finish it. Once you do get born again, then this book creates deeper and deeper and deeper assurance. Hey man, but you can read it to them till you're blue in the face and they'll say, well, I hope I got it. I think I got it. I'm going to try. I believe I got it this time. I tell you what you'll know if you ever get it. Now, let me stop. I know I'm saying I'm confusing some of you all. I believe it's possible that you're saved, but I don't believe it's possible that you're saved long.
Amen.
I don't think you can doubt it long. They've been several times in my life. The devil just slipped in, smacked me upside the head and said, if you're saved so-and-so.
Yeah.
That thought hardly gets through me. There's something inside there, takes the sharp sword of the Spirit and chops that lie right in the middle before it gets plumb through there. Hey man, son! Hey man! I never did go to church and hear a man of God preach about Jesus Christ and being born again and go out that door and made me dead, I was saved. Something inside me just said, yes, sir, Doc, you've been there. You've done that. You know what that man's talking about. I don't care how bad you've been a doubting, son. Holy Ghost gets down inside there and gets kicking around inside of you, moving around down in there. Before you know it, you're saying, amen, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I know these things are written that you might know, and thank God they are. You can never have a lasting, deep, settled peace about it without the Word. But the first evidence of you getting saved is a witness of God's Spirit. First evidence, the witness of the Spirit. His Spirit beareth witness, our Spirit, that we are the children of God. Have you ever been to a meeting? I'm preaching too long, listen. You ever been to a meeting? You ever been to a meeting where two or three testified, and every time so-and-so testified, it just broke your spirit and it didn't agree with you?
Yeah.
It don't say His Spirit bears witness with yours, that our spirit, mine bears spirit, will bear witness one another, we're the children of God. That ain't what it says.
No.
It says that His Spirit, God's Spirit, bear witness with my... The Holy Spirit will bear witness with my human spirit that I am the child of God and I get saved. And if His Spirit's bearing witness with my spirit and His Spirit's bearing witness with His Spirit, then there ain't nothing left but mine and His Spirit bear witness too. And when you get in the service that nobody's spirit's bearing witness with your spirit, I'd run, son. You'll never experience... By this we know we're the children of God by His Spirit which He hath given unto us.
Yeah.
If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Can I show you this quickly? Look in John 3. I don't care. Bless God for keeping you to midnight. I don't really care right now. I could care less. You won't have to get me to come back. Somebody said, Brother Barry, don't ever get that guy back, man. Our beans and taters got cold. Look at verse 8 a minute. John 3. Look at John 3. I want you to read this a minute. Look at it. The wind bloweth where it listeth. There here. Look. Let me slow down. The wind bloweth where it listeth, comma. There here's the sound thereof, comma. The canest not tell whence it cometh, comma. And whither it goeth, colon. So is everyone's born of spirit. And here's how this would actually read if you wanted to read it longhand. The subject is the last phrase. So is everyone's born of the Spirit. Here's how it actually read. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, so is everyone's born of the Spirit. And thou hearest the sound thereof, so is everyone's born of the Spirit. But canst not tell whence it cometh, so is everyone's born of the Spirit. And whither it goeth, so is everyone's born of the Spirit. The first element is the wind sovereign. It blows where He wills. The second element is He must cause a sound. Now hear me, here's what I want to say. There's lots you can say there, but I ain't going to say it. He said the wind is not a feeling. I hear preachers preaching all across the country. You can't see it, but you can feel it. Jesus didn't say one thing about feeling in that verse. You read it, show it to me. The subject of the text is not that you've got to feel something. The subject of the text is the Spirit has got to cause you to hear something.
Amen.
We put so much emphasis on feeling something.
Jesus said, souls, everyone's born of the Spirit. Everybody's born of the Spirit must have heard something. The wind, the Spirit of God, must have caused them to hear something.
Amen.
Did you hear anything you got saved? I heard I was lost. I heard Jesus loved me and I was going to die and go to hell. Come on now, wake up back there, Doc. I heard something. Have you ever heard anything? I tell you one thing, it won't care a whole lot about the feeling, how you feel, if you just ever hear. I've seen a boy once at our church. Help me, Lord, I'll be done in a minute. I've seen a boy at our church once. Yeah, he's the biggest hippie I ever seen. He was the ugliest looking thing. He come to church one night. Said he wanted to get saved, got on the altar, prayed a simple prayer, and got up and said, God, save me. My pastor punched me as we walked out the door. My pastor punched me and said, stay around. He went on, he said, do you think he got anything? I said, I don't know. I said, time will tell, I reckon. He said, I didn't feel nothing. He said, I didn't sense nothing. That old boy went to the house, come back next week, hair cut, dressed right, got to church, got to going up in the mountains and praying every night. God called him to preach. It ain't how you feel.
Right.
It's what you heard.
Amen.
I tell you one thing, friend. If you ever heard you're dying without God going to hell,
amen.
If you ever hear God's going to send you to hell and let you burn forever there, it won't make no difference. I've seen some feel great. I thought the best profession I ever seen, a fellow got on the altar and prayed one day from 12 o'clock to 1:30 at our church. I never heard such crying. I thought, if anybody got it, son, I'm telling you, he got it. I ain't never seen him since. That's been 13 years. He had a feeling.
Yep.
You listen? He had a feeling.
Amen.
He didn't hear nothing.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say, if you feel the wind, you better get saved. He said, when you hear something,
amen.
When you hear that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and He'll save you, you better move.
Amen.
They gave you two others real hurriedly. Number six. Number one, y'all listen, you'll never escape the wrath of God, experience the workings of God, express your worship for God, explore the Word of God, expect the witness of God. Number six, and quickly, and I'm going to bring it to a close. I know you're tired. I've been here exactly 51 minutes. That's how I know how long I've been here. Six, y'all want to know. 51 minutes. Some of you got it right down to the second anyhow. You will never endure the whippings of God. Hebrews chapter 12, if you were to alliterate it in those passages, he said that sons will experience chastisement. He said in the next verse that servants will endure chastisement. And he said in the next verse that sinners will escape chastisement. All God's children experience chastisement. And if you go without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. If you can live in sin and get by, you do not belong to God. I know this don't sound like a jubilee message, but I'm going to clear my hands. Friend, you'll never be whipped of God. Everybody in this building saved can say, I remember times that God took me out to the woodshed and whipped me. I know times He done it, Brother Ivan. And everybody here saved. You say, well, I'm living in sin. God ain't never bothered me. Be sure, son, you don't belong to the Lord. Number seven, I'm trying to close in just a minute. You must be born again to be eager for the will of God. God's will mean nothing to you till you get saved. You will never want to submit your body. Can I say this quickly? Boy, God made that word present my body big to me lately. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'm about done. I know y'all tired and wore out. Present your body. Man, I got to think about that. One of the things they teach you in culinary school, that's cooking school, is that 90% of the dish has got to deal with the way you present it. If it don't look good, you won't eat it. God said, I want you to present your, not your spirit. I want you to present That means to display your body in a way that God's pleased with.